Welcome to our Wednesday night service as we continue our journey through our new book of Romans. Exciting study. And last week we focused on the beginning of the book where Paul introduced himself as a servant and as an apostle, but a servant that had been separated into the gospel, which is what God wants all of us to be. This evening we're going to carry on there in Romans chapter 1 and just look at verses 2 and 3 together. It says, which had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so notice it says promised afore by his prophets. So we're going to have a little bit of a journey this evening and have a look at that phrase relative to the Old Testament prophets. But first let's pray. Lord, I pray now that as we walk through your word together, that we would learn things and it would just bless our hearts, Lord, to realize that Jesus Christ is all throughout the scriptures. And as Paul mentioned here, Lord, that everywhere we look, we see you. And I pray it'll be a blessing to our hearts and we would grow in our understanding and our love for your word and opportunities as well, that it would generate to be a blessing to others and help them understand your word too. So, Lord, I pray now that you would guide us in your truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we take a little bit of a journey through the Old Testament, looking at the confirmation of this statement that Paul made, that the promise of Jesus Christ was made by the Old Testament prophets, which is true, I want you to see in Luke chapter 24, if you would turn over there, that the Lord Jesus Christ made a similar statement. This was after his resurrection, but before his ascension, when he spent some quality time with his disciples, just teaching them from his word here in Luke chapter 24. And if you would look over in verse 27, the Bible says that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, our journey will not be near as exhaustive and detailed as Jesus's was, because Jesus is the Word. And there will be a lot of scriptures that we won't know until we get to heaven that we're speaking of Christ. But Jesus took the time. He spent over a month with his disciples, and he walked them through the Old Testament scriptures, saying, this is me, this is me, this is me. I can't imagine how exciting that would have been. But the phrase there in Luke 24, 27, all the prophets. And so that's what we're going to do this evening. And we'll look at some of the scriptures. Others I'll just reference. You can maybe look up the references later. But I just want us to see that it's a true statement that Jesus Christ is in all the, or was mentioned in all the prophets of the Old Testament. And so we're going to walk through them as they appear in the scriptures. And of course, the first prophet is Moses himself, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, or God wrote them through him. And in Genesis 3, verse 15, it talks about the seed of the woman. In Genesis 14, we see Melchizedek, and we're told in Hebrews that he had never been born and he had never had an ending, and it had to be Jesus Christ appearing there in Genesis 14. Then in Genesis 22, we see Abraham being told to offer up Isaac, which is one of the most beautiful illustrations of the Lord Jesus Christ being offered up for our sins. And then in Genesis 49, we can look at this one, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, we see God mentioning one of the names of Jesus Christ and giving us the promise that he would come. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Of course, Jesus was a descendant of Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Another name describing the coming Messiah. So that's just Genesis. When we get to Exodus, of course, we have the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12, picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb had to be without blemish, no broken bones. Jesus Christ had to be a fulfillment of those things. And it was the blood of the lamb that protected them from the death angel, just like it's the blood of the lamb that protects us from the judgment of our sin. In Exodus chapter 17, if you want to turn there, Moses was told to smite a rock and that water would come out when the people were complaining about not having water to drink. And here in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, he says, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And we know we get to the New Testament, and we're told that the rock that followed them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 was Jesus Christ. And so this rock picturing Jesus Christ, the smitten rock that gives us the water that is picturing everlasting life. Now in Numbers chapter 21, we know where the people were getting bitten by fiery serpents for complaining again. And God told Moses that if he would put a brazen serpent on a pole and hold it up, that when people got bit by the serpent, if they would look upon that brazen serpent on the pole, that they would be healed of their snake bites. We get to the New Testament, John chapter 3, Jesus says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life," there in John 3, 14 and 15. And so that fiery serpent pictured Jesus Christ becoming sin for us. And when we look upon him for our salvation, to be rescued from our sin, he heals us of our sin. And then in Numbers chapter 24, when Balaam was giving his prophecies, remember God overtook Balaam and spoke through him. He says in Numbers 24, down in verse 17, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." So notice it's here, there will be a star that would come out of Jacob. Of course, that star is the Lord Jesus Christ. It mentions a scepter there, talking about the fact that he would be a king. And then finally in Deuteronomy 18, when I say finally, I mean the books of Moses, Moses prophesied here that there would come another prophet. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and down in verse 15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And so Moses said, there will come another prophet. And this prophet, notice verse 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them, and I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." So God here promising that there would come a prophet, and Jesus says in the New Testament that he was the fulfillment of that prophet. And so as we're walking through the Old Testament, Moses, they're giving the older books, the first prophet. We get to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5, we see the captain of the Lord's host, which of course was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to 2 Samuel, Samuel being the next prophet, and in chapter 7 was given what is referred to as the Davidic covenant. The beautiful, if you want to turn there, 2 Samuel chapter 7, the beautiful promise, which was then repeated by the Lord over and over again through the Old Testament, that the King of Kings would one day sit on the throne of David, and that this throne would last forever. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, down, we'll just look down in verse 13. "He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And then in verse 16, "All thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." So God here promised that the throne that the King of Kings would sit on would be the throne of David. That's referred to as the Davidic covenant. So Moses, Joshua, Samuel, three prophets so far. Then we come to Job, and God actually prophesied through Job. So go to Job chapter 19, Job being the oldest book in the Bible as far as the events that it recorded. And then, of course, Moses recorded creation, but his was written after Job. But here in Job 19, verse 25, Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So Job prophesied of his coming Redeemer who would one day stand upon the earth. Then we come to Psalms. Psalms and Isaiah would be the books that had the most prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a few Psalms that are referred to as the what are called the Messianic Psalms. And so we'll have a peek at some of those quickly. And these would have been written by David, who was another prophet of the Lord. So we've looked at Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Job, and now David. So Psalm 2, verse 6, he says, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So notice a prophecy there in Psalm 2, one of the messianic psalms of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to Psalm 16 now, this beautiful promise about Jesus Christ and his resurrection, down in verse 18, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So the prophecy that Jesus Christ would not stay in hell. He just went there to preach, of course. Then Psalm 22, probably the most prolific of the Messianic Psalms would be the 22nd Psalm. Notice verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus spoke those exact words from the cross. Down in verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And of course, this is exactly what happened when Christ was hanging on the cross. Down in verse 16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. So there a prophecy that Jesus Christ would be crucified. Down in verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. So we know that that exact event took place there at the cross. So that's just some sampling. Psalm 22 has many scriptures about Jesus. Over in Psalm 24, the prophecy of the King of Glory is given. Down in verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth. Wrong psalm. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. So some more beautiful prophecies there in Psalm 24. Just a couple more. Psalm 34, verse 20, there's a verse about Jesus Christ. Notice Psalm 34, verse 20. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Of course, this is an important fulfillment of Jesus Christ meeting the requirements of the Passover lamb from Exodus 12. And we get to the story of the crucifixion, and the soldiers did not break the bones of Jesus Christ. Then over in Psalm 68, verse 18. Now these are prophecies all given by David. It says, Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. So that talking about how he would ascend back to heaven. In Psalm 69, verse 21, it says, They gave me also gold for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. That's exactly what happened when Christ was on the cross. And then Psalm 118, verse 22, The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is quoted multiple times in the New Testament, that Jesus Christ would be that cornerstone of the church, but also the stone that the Jews would reject and that would grind them. So we get to, that's David. Then, of course, Solomon, his son, prophesied in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ as the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. And then the most prolific prophet as far as prophecies about Jesus would be Isaiah. And I'll just mention some of them. We'll look at a few, but notice Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And you'll see that so many scriptures about Jesus Christ. And again, this is the fulfillment of Paul's statement that all of these promises were given by his prophets. Notice Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We get to the New Testament. We're told Emmanuel stands for God with us. We're told in Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, that his ministry would begin in Galilee. And then, of course, Isaiah 9, 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Beautiful prophecies about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and about his kingdom. Isaiah 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And if you read chapter 11, it's beautiful prophecies about the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful of a kingdom it will be. So that's 11 verses 1 through 10. Then in chapter 35 of Isaiah, we see that God here said that Jesus Christ would have a ministry of miracles. Isaiah 35 verse 5, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. So prophecy of all the healings that Jesus Christ would perform during his ministry. Then if you go to Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah's 66 books broken up into two main sections, 39 chapters and then 40 and on, which is fascinating because there's 66 books in the Bible. There's 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And it's chapter 40, which would be the equivalent of like Matthew, if you're looking at like a chapter per book. And that is the very chapter that gives us the prophecy, verse 3 of chapter 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So this beautiful prophecy of John the Baptist coming and introducing the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, of course, continuing prophecies there about the eventual kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 42, we see the servant of God. If you look at Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, look what it says. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And we know that they plucked off Jesus Christ's beard by the roots, and that he would be whipped with a cat of nine tails, which is what's prophesied of here in Isaiah 50, verse 6. In Isaiah 52, verse 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, prophesying there that this Jesus Christ's appearance would be so distorted that he wouldn't even look human because of all the beatings that he went through on our behalf. Isaiah chapter 53, often referred to as the gospel in the Old Testament, one of the most beautiful chapters about Jesus in the entire Bible, The entire chapter talks about Christ, about him being an offering for our sins. But I'll just point out a couple of verses very well known. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look down at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So we see here the Lord Jesus Christ satisfying the judgment and justice of God through his sacrifice on our behalf. And then Isaiah 61, Jesus Christ stood up in the synagogue and began to preach this passage. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus stopped at that comma, because from then on it talks about the coming vengeance of the tribulation and then the coming kingdom. But Jesus quoted this passage himself. So as you can see, Isaiah is filled with prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us to Jeremiah. And in chapter 23, if you want to turn there, Jeremiah prophesied of the branch. Many times Jesus is referred to as the branch. But in this particular passage, notice verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Remember, Jesus had to be a descendant of David in the flesh. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. One of the plural names of Jehovah here in Jeremiah 23. That means Jesus Christ would be Jehovah, and he would be the one that would eventually see Israel saved and would rule and reign over them. In Ezekiel chapter 34, another one of the prophets, Ezekiel talked about there one day being one shepherd over the whole nation of Israel, of course prophesying of Jesus. We get to the book of Daniel, Daniel being the next prophet, and he prophesied that Jesus Christ would be the Ancient of Days there in Daniel chapter 7. And even in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel gave a prophecy about exactly how many weeks it would be from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem until the birth of Jesus Christ. It's all laid out there in Daniel chapter 9, the timing of the birth of Christ. We get to Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, and the Bible says he would be called out of Egypt. And we know that Joseph and Mary did escape to Egypt when Jesus was very young for a while before they came back to Israel. And so that was a prophecy of that event. The book of Joel, he's referred to as the Lord of Bounty. In Amos, he's referred to as the Rescuer of Israel. In Obadiah, he's referred to as the Deliverer on Mount Zion. That's Obadiah verse 17. In Jonah, if you want to turn there, of course, Jesus himself referred to Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, he says, and as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's Matthew 12:40. But notice here in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So picturing Jesus Christ being in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And then go to Micah chapter 5. More beautiful prophecies about Jesus. Notice verse 2. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So even the very town that Jesus would be born in was prophesied of here in the scriptures. And there's many more here in Micah chapter 5 about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be everlasting, that he would be smitten, and so forth. So from Micah, we move on to Nahum, where he's referred to as our stronghold. Habakkuk, the anchor of our faith. Zephaniah is referred to as the just Lord. And then Haggai chapter 2, look over there, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, where the Bible says, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." So Jesus Christ here referred to as the desire of all nations. Brings us to Zechariah. Zechariah is only 14 chapters, but so many prophecies about the coming Lord Jesus Christ in Zechariah. He's referred to as the branch in chapter 3 and chapter 6. But notice Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." We read about that very event taking place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we move over to Zechariah 11 and down in verse 12. It says, "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed from my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." Jesus Christ was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver that eventually ended up paying for or being given to the potter's field, because remember, Judas Iscariot gave the money back, and they passed it on because they didn't want to take blood money to pay for the potter's field. Then in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So they will look on me whom they have pierced." Look at chapter 13 of Zechariah, verse 6. "And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Jesus prophesying that it would be the Jews that would wound him. And then in chapter 14, the last chapter of Zechariah, almost the entire chapter prophesies of the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Look at verse 4. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south." So talking about the exact spot where Jesus Christ would return to the earth, there to the Mount of Olives. And then the last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 2. Look what it says. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." So Jesus Christ here referred to as the Son of Righteousness. Now in chapters 3 and chapter 4, it talks about the forerunner. Notice down in chapter 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming and great day of dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And of course, Jesus said that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of the prophesied return of Elijah. So John came in the spirit of Elijah. So back here in Romans chapter 1, Paul said, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. So we just took a small little journey there, showing that every prophet of the Old Testament that had written things down under the the leadership of the Holy Spirit, prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth. Notice it says in verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so Jesus Christ had to be a fleshly descendant of David through Mary, which he was, to fulfill that those many prophecies about the throne of David. But notice it says in the Holy Scriptures. And again, a reminder that this book that we have in our hands is God's holy word. Holy meaning perfect. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Remember that you are holding a copy of the Holy Scriptures. God promised in Psalm 12, verse 7, he said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this is God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, and honestly, one of the greatest proofs of the fact that this book is supernatural and from God and holy are these many, many prophecies that were given about the Lord Jesus Christ, that each one came to pass exactly as given. Many of them haven't come yet because they're talking about his return to the earth, which is yet to come in our future. But Paul here, he's about to write this beautiful book of Romans. He's introduced himself as the separated servant, as the apostle to the Gentiles. And now he says, the things I'm about to share with you build upon all that was given in the Old Testament by these prophets, prophesying of Jesus Christ, and now I'm about to give you all of these great truths about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read there in verse 3, made of the seed of David. So he was promised afore by his prophets, as Jesus said in Luke 24, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Promised afore by his prophets. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this short